later on. Certainly wanted to mention what happened on the golf course on Tuesday in Macon, Georgia. Outstanding individual effort by Shelby Brockmuller. We've had her on the show before. Transfer from Marshall and is from Polk County, and at a golf course that was obviously very difficult to perform on, especially under par, she was the second best score in the final round on Tuesday with a 2-under par 70. Let's put that into perspective, shall we? The winning team was UCF, the Knights, the highest ranked team in the field, and they slayed it with a scorching 28 over par. Yes, the Brickyard Collegiate in Macon, Georgia, the Brickyard Golf Club, which apparently was redesigned a few years ago and is notable for not having any houses on the fairway. It's not a country club kind of scenario, and it's supposed to, or at least it touts itself as an unparalleled club experience of refuge, relaxation, and one of the most breathtaking, challenging golf masterpieces in Georgia. And I think challenging certainly does fit the bill here. Mention UCF's winning score. Mercer, which is right there in Macon, was second place at 46 over par. Tied for third were Furman and Kennesaw State, 52 over. You get the idea. Memphis was the other conference team. It finished fifth at 53 over. And the Bulls were hovering around ninth place all day, but they ended up back in 10th place where they had gone after the first two rounds that were played. 36 holes on Monday, 72 over par, but had their best score as they shot a 307 as a team. We'll get to the team results in a second, but again, it was Shelby Brockmuller shooting a 2-under par 70. Just for perspective, the two golfers that finished tied for individual honors, who were both, by the way, even par, FAU's Justine Fornand and Mercer's Lauren Lightfritz, they shot 72s and 73s. Only one golfer was under par on Tuesday. It was Anna Collado from UCF, who was 5-under 67. And then it was Brockmuller. She was the only golfer to hit 70 right on the nose. And by doing so, she was able to get into 10th place. Started on the back nine, birdied holes 14 and 15 back-to-back. On the front nine, she would close it out with bogey, but then a birdie to get back to 70. And this was after her first two rounds of 75 and 81. So the three-round score of 10 over par had her tied with two other golfers. For 10th place, she actually moved up 21 spots from the end of round two to the end of the tournament. Just outside the top 30 was teammate Jessica Whiting, who went 79, 77, 77. That's 17 over par. The freshman Melanie Green was third on the Bulls. Erica Smith followed by, and she was in the lineup for the first time. Just shows you how competitive this team is. Ramya Meenakshisindaram, who saved her best round for last, a 78. The Bulls' next event is the conference tournament, and the way things are going, they were moving up the rankings but have slid a little bit, and they will likely have to win that conference tournament if not finish very high up. We'll get more with Erica Brennan, the head coach, on that part of it, but that'll be not this but the following weekend in Pinehurst, North Carolina. So congratulations to Shelby. Great job. And the Bulls have one more on their schedule the rest of the way. Of course, the other one would be the NCAA tournament regionals. Let's hope they're involved with those. If you're wondering about the men, they do have one more event before the conference tournament, which will be in Brooksville this year at Southern Hills Plantation Club, April 23rd to the 25th. I actually looked at the schedule. Neither baseball nor softball are at home, and assuming I won't be able to get on a plane with them, and that's probably a pretty safe assumption these days, I'll probably be headed up to Brooksville for some of that action. And their last regular season event is in Phoenix, Arizona next weekend. Why Phoenix? Because the NCAA tournament final round is in Scottsdale, Arizona. So Steve Bradley always thinking ahead. As pretty decent segue alert, we do here, speaking of conference tournament and NCAA tournament, on the side of soccer, the women's team took a pretty large step towards the NCAA tournament by winning that regular season title against Memphis the other night. Now, I've gotten confirmation from the conference on this. It is going to be not just a average points per game system as far as how these teams that didn't fulfill their full schedule, because SMU only got in two matches in conference play. It's a 9-team conference. Top four make it to the conference tournament. Semifinals are next Thursday at the site of the regular season champion, which is USF. So next Thursday at Corbett Soccer Stadium will be the semifinals, and then Saturday will be the championship game. Now, what really relates to the Bulls here is who is going to be their first round opponent. and namely the fourth seed. We'll do the math portion. If you want to avoid math, then you'll know that it's coming up at the end of the hour with Around the American. But basically, with SMU's game against Houston on Wednesday being canceled, Houston was eliminated. Again, if you're interested in the math part of this, stay tuned for Around the American. But long story short, there are only three possible opponents for the Bulls in the semifinals. There are only five teams that could make it to the tournament for the four spots. Two of them are already sewn up with the Bulls and with Memphis. The other three, and how they stand right now in order, are East Carolina, Cincinnati, and UCF. The Knights are the only of those three teams that must win their game this weekend, but it actually doesn't add up to unlikely for them to be in the conference tournament. And if you're wondering, could UCF be the fourth seed and play the Bulls in the semis, which it just seems like is going to happen? Absolutely, but there's also a decent chance that UCF could get the three seed and the Bulls would play somebody else. So we'll give you more of that outlook and, yes, the math involved on the conference show coming up here at the end of the hour Around the American. Now, as far as the men's soccer team goes, the math is pretty darn simple now after what happened on Tuesday. We'll give you details of the matches in the conference show, but what you need to know is that the Bulls now must win their game on Friday night to continue their season. That's, well, their own doing. They, of course, know this. Their loss to Memphis last weekend at home really hurt the Bulls because Memphis turned around and lost to Temple. Gave it a big-time battle yesterday, but the Owls do win at Memphis in overtime, and that jumped Temple ahead of the Bulls. So right now the Bulls are in fifth place, which is not where you want to be if you want to finish in the top four. And the only way to get back into the top four is win at Tulsa on Friday night, or else the Bulls season will come to an end. This show is halfway through. Coming up next, we'll preview tonight's doubleheader, which again, yours truly will have the call of live from Gainesville. It is USF Giving Week, and my chat with Abby Ritter about the Stampede for Women, something you'll want to stay tuned for. We'll throw in a couple of other notes as well. This is Bulls Beat. Don't go anywhere.